And hello, everybody. Hope everybody is doing well. I am so sorry that I have not spoken to you in a couple weeks. It's been a couple of rough weeks. I have gotten sick, and I spent a week and a half probably in isolation from my wife and in the bedroom downstairs, all attempting to still work and take care of myself in all the ways that I possibly could. So I am back with you, and welcome to the podcast, Lessons from My Narcissistic Father. The last few times we've gone over what narcissism is, how many people really have that. I know that a lot of us use that term nowadays for all kinds of people, our spouses, our ex-spouses, our parents. And I just want to reiterate that, you know, a lot of times we call people narcissistic or narcissist, and the reality is there's not one lurking around every corner. You know, they're a small percentage of the population, but people can have narcissistic traits. And that's really what we're talking about here with me and today and throughout this podcast is, yes, somebody may be truly narcissistic, so I'm not questioning that, but I'm also wanting people to be aware that people can have narcissistic traits and not be narcissistic. However, even those narcissistic traits are hurtful. They can be abusive, are abusive, and they still impact us as children. And a lot of times we still become adult children of narcissistic parents, or adult children of people with narcissistic traits, if you even want to put it like that. I would put it like that. So we've been talking about what narcissism is. We've talked about kind of how their behavior affects us, what kind of behaviors affect us. We did the last time here. Today, I kind of want to talk about how do narcissistic parents or parents with narcissistic traits, how do they abuse us? How do they abuse their children? So that you can think about the ways you've been abused and hurt. Because how you were hurt or abused or any traumatic experiences you had when you were a kid, they probably impact you as an adult. And why I'm doing this in terms of lessons from my narcissistic father is because those things impacted me as a kid growing up, and I know they did. And they've been instrumental in me thinking about things this way, for me to work through my own therapy process, for me to learn how to take care of myself better, for me to learn how to be better in relationships, for me to learn boundaries and limits, for me to learn how to make choices for myself, for me to learn who I am, what I really want and need, and not just what everybody else wants and needs, and how do I figure that out for somebody, and doing all those kinds of things, because that's really how I grew up, was trying to figure out what everybody else wanted and needed and make sure that happened and make sure I gave it to them. And a lot of times, and even still to this day, it's been to my detriment. It's been hurtful for me. And it's been hurtful to the people around me because I don't ask for what I need, or I'm not asking for the things that I need to ask for, or I'm not setting boundaries and limits where I need to set boundaries and limits. And people get confused. They get hurt. And even though I've been a lot of ways what I would say codependent, that sounds really nice to be in a relationship with somebody who's codependent because, hey, I'm not okay unless you're okay and unless I'm doing what you need me to do. You know, so I'm always giving to you. I'm always helping you. I'm always doing something. I'm always making sure you're okay. But the reality is what I'm doing when I've done that is I'm stealing somebody else's individualism. I'm taking away who they are. I'm trying to make them fit into the mold that I need them to be in so I can make sure they're okay and fit them, rather than learning what I've learned now, that there are limits. That is not always my responsibility to be taking care of everybody else, that I need to let people make their own choices and decisions, that even if it's going to be hurtful to them or if I can see a better way, I still have to have limits and allow that to be what it is. And a lot of times the ways I was hurt or abused, I'm going to call that abuse when I was a kid. Abuse doesn't just mean physical abuse or sexual abuse. It can also be emotional abuse. Emotional abuse includes some of the things we'll talk about today. Being made fun of, being called names, being yelled at, being screamed at, being made fun of. But it also includes emotional abandonment. Somebody not being there when you need them. Somebody not helping you understand what's going on. Somebody not being supportive of school and those kinds of things. And we'll talk about those things today too. So I want you to wrap your mind around if those things happen to you. Now, what I don't want you to do, because I'm a therapist, but I'm not your therapist, is think that just because those things happened to you, or you think they may, well, they probably did, or I'm telling you they did. No, I want you to think through your own life, to be open and think about those things. And if you need to, find a therapist for yourself so that you can really talk about, did these things really happen to me or not? How did I interpret these things as a child? What really happened to me there? What were those things like for me, and how did I cope with them? And then you can also work through any anger or resentment or sadness or frustration or depression you have. Because as an adult, those things will still impact us. So I'm going to talk about all those things today in those kinds of ways. And just want us to kind of go through them. That how do our narcissistic parents or parents with narcissistic traits, how do they really hurt us? How do they abuse us? What happens there if we were the child of a narcissistic parent or one with those traits? So I'm just going to kind of read through them because I just think that's the best way to do that. And then I'll talk about my own experience about them and how I kind of saw these things. So we'll kind of go through those things. So when narcissistic parents or parents that seem to be have narcissistic traits, these things can be really subtle things. And some of them are so subtle. In which way we have been abused or things have been hurt for us as we were children. So some of these things you'll have to think about, and maybe will be little bitty things that seem maybe not to have a big, huge difference. And some of these things are going to be huge things. Some of these things you've experienced, some of these things you have not experienced. I have not experienced all of these. I've only experienced a few. Again, going back to the first podcast in this, that's why I say my dad, I don't know that he was truly narcissistic, but he definitely had some of those traits, and I'll talk about those today. So the first one, what is the first one? The first one is rejecting. So what do I mean by rejecting? So rejecting means narcissistic parents will often, either on purpose or unconsciously, it doesn't mean that your parent did this on purpose. It doesn't mean they woke up in the morning and said to themselves, oh, wait, I can't wait to reject my child. This is going to be awesome. Some people did that. I would say if they're truly narcissistic, they may have actually got up in the morning and thought that, hey, I'm going to ignore them today as a way to get back at them and a way to manipulate them, like we talked about in the last podcast. But I would say that if they had narcissistic traits, I don't know that they actually got up in the morning and said to themselves, hey, I'm going to do this on purpose. They got up trying to probably maybe do the best they could, and they're doing it with the best skills and tools that they have. So when they're rejecting, they tell a child in all kinds of ways that you are not wanted. You are not okay. They put the child down as a form of emotional abuse. And they may make you the child the scapegoat for all the family problems. You know, making you, if you would do better in school, if you would have done better here, hey, we wouldn't be in this position. Hey, if you would act better around family, we wouldn't be in this position. Those kinds of things. They may belittle your needs emotionally. Hey, I'm crying and upset and I'm sad, and they tell you you shouldn't be crying. Why are you crying about that? That's ridiculous. That's silly. Don't be crying about that. That doesn't necessarily mean they're narcissistic, but it does maybe unconsciously mean that they don't know how to do that. They don't know how to have emotions and do that themselves, so they don't want you to have emotions and do that themselves. So I'm going to read off a list of kind of rejecting things that happen. One of them is constant criticism. You know, nothing's ever good enough. It's never going to be good enough. And if we grew up in that kind of world where nothing's good enough and nothing's ever going to be good enough, what we tend to do is in our own head tell ourselves it's not good enough and never going to be good enough. Nothing's ever good enough. I can do this and I can do it well, and unless it's perfect, so if we do it just here, and if you're watching me on video, you know, I can do my hand really high, and then just short of my hand where it's at, if it's just below that, it's not good enough. Even though, man, it was almost perfect, it's still never going to be good enough. And we carry that around with us. And that is emotionally abusive. Because now we think of ourselves that way, and we continue to do that. So even with our own children, we may say that it wasn't good enough, even though our children think it's good enough. Or we may put that on them and hurt them in those ways. Some of those things are also be name-calling. So calling you silly, calling you stupid, calling you dumb, those kinds of things. Now, I don't think my dad did this on purpose, but I do remember a couple of incidents where he would say how silly something was or how dumb something was. And it wasn't directly necessarily directed towards me, but it was about an event or something going on. I can remember him saying how silly or stupid it was. So I do remember those kinds of times when those things were happening to me. You may be yelled at directly or sweared at. So if that happened to you, you know, using the F-bomb to you, telling you you're a dumb F-bomb, telling you those kinds of things, swearing and yelling because it's not good enough, and I can't believe you did this, and what happened, those are abusive things, if you remember those things in your childhood. Constant demeaning jokes. You know, where they think they're being funny, but reality is it's more passive-aggressive. You know, it's more kind of times like, oh yeah, haha, you always do those kinds of things, but it's just funny. You know, and those things are passive-aggressive. Those are demeaning. You know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about kind of how people can be passive-aggressive and make those things happen. You know, it's making a little joke here and a little joke there, and you feel like that happens. It's verbal humiliation. So one of the ones I remember from my dad around verbal humiliation that's different than just calling me stupid or silly. I don't know that he directly did that, like I said. But I do remember, like, at times I used the word on, so you turn a light switch on or off. And when I would use the word on, he would make fun of me. On, you sound like a Yankee when you say on. And I remember him doing that more than once, making fun of how I said a word. Now, do I think he meant that in jest and joke? Probably. But as a child, I'm hearing that. It made me feel like what I was doing wasn't good enough. It wasn't okay. It wasn't all right. The other thing that happens at times is we get constantly teased about your weight or your body or what's wrong or why aren't you skinny enough or what's wrong with you? Why are you doing that way? You need to lose some weight. Why are you eating that? You shouldn't be eating that. Are you thinking about that? Are you drinking enough water? All those kinds of things. Those are rejecting things when we go through that. And it makes you, again, feel like you're not good enough. You're never going to be good enough. It's never going to be right. Sometimes you may have had a narcissistic parent or a parent with narcissistic traits that constantly said how they wish you were the opposite gender or sex. Man, I wish I would have had a boy. It would have been a lot better. I would have loved sports. Man, I wish I would have had a little girl because I really wanted to be able to play dolls or have this or have a grandchild that was another girl or, you know, who knows what kind of things, but that kind of wishing you were a different sex or gender. Again, that's one of those things that makes you feel like in all kind of ways that you're not wanted. This is the rejection part, that you're not okay and you're not wanted. So another thing that happened to me, I will tell you that did happen to me, is refusing affection, hugs, gestures, those kinds of things. I don't ever really remember my dad coming to hug me. And if I did hug him, it was because I initiated that. I don't think that was something that he really knew how to do very well and knew how to do that was comfortable for him. So at times, didn't get much physical affection. So in my life, what that's meant is, hey, I hug my son every time I see him. I let him know I care about him. I do loving gestures toward him. You know, I put my arm around him. I hug him. You know, let him know that I care in all kinds of ways that I can. So if that happened to you, that's some of those things that happen. Another rejecting thing is physical abandonment. This one happened to me for sure. My dad was not around. He was more concerned. Like I said, in my first podcast, you can go back and kind of hear my story about that. He really wasn't around. He wasn't around for school. He wasn't around for games that I played in. He wasn't around at home. He was constantly at work. Or he was on the weekends at his football games refereeing. If he wasn't refereeing football, he was umpiring baseball. He was doing softball. He was doing basketball. He was at meetings for the high school association. He just was not home. Or he was working at the railroad. He just was not very home very much. And when I got to be a teenager, he wasn't home at all because he and my mom had divorced and he was living somewhere else. And I saw him over the weekend. And then when I became a teenager, old enough to drive, I really didn't go over there very much. So I didn't really see him and he didn't really make efforts to come see me at other things. So that's some of that physical abandonment. And that may have happened to you. They just were not present for those things. And that gives a kid, teenager kid, and a sense of, hey, I'm just not wanted. I'm not important to you. I'm not a priority to you. What I'm doing and what I'm involved in doesn't matter to you. And so there must be something wrong with me. We feel ashamed. We feel bad. we feel ignored. And what we tend to do with that is not, hey, what's wrong with you as a kid? What we tend to do with that is, hey, what's wrong with me? Why am I not good enough for you to pay attention to? That's the way we think about that. You may have times where when you were adolescent, you were treated like a kid, or in your young adulthood, you know, that you're a kid, that you don't need to do that, you need to stop, no, you can't do that, you were not trusted with, that you can make good decisions about yourself and for yourself, and that is a form of rejection. Again, you're not good enough, you don't know how to make good decisions, you know how to make that happen. So that's kind of rejecting, is that you are not important, that you don't matter, that you're not wanted, and those are all the things that are included under that. When you talk about, you know, how do they abuse us at times, or how they abuse their children, narcissistic parents, is number one, they reject us. All those things are under rejection. Number two is ignoring. So what we mean by ignoring is they struggle with meeting the needs of their kids. They don't show any kind of attachment or positive nurturing to you as a kid or to their children. They ignore them. They may be there physically present in something, but they're still emotionally unavailable. So they may have been home with you and there and present physically, but when you asked them for something or needed them to come help you with schoolwork or needed them to watch you hit the ball at the ball game or run at the track meet, or you turned around, they weren't paying attention. They were on their phone. They were talking to another parent. They were rocking around on the phone. They were talking to somebody about what was going on in their lives and not really paying attention to what was happening for you there. And you just felt ignored. So some of those things are, yeah, failing to pay attention to your significant life's events. They weren't at your graduation. They weren't at your wedding. For me, it was definitely, I am playing football every Friday and he is not there. And for me, that was significant life events. That was one of the big things in my life that was going on for me. I got a football scholarship. It paid for college for me. It was an important part of my life. And he was never there for those things in any kind of way. Lack of attention to schooling or your peers. My dad really wasn't involved in my schooling or what my grades were or what was going on. That was something my mom did with me. It was something I did by myself, but he really wasn't involved and engaged in that to find out what was going on with school and what was happening. Not even in college. You know, how are you doing in school? What classes are you taking? What's going on there? It was just not something he was involved in. And that may have come because he just trusted me to do the right thing because I was doing the right thing. I was making straight A's. I was making A's and B's. I had a 3.8 grade point average. Maybe he just trusted me in that way. But there was never a point where he ask those questions again, had that kind of nurturing where he wanted to ask those questions. And it just made me feel like I didn't matter. I was being ignored. Sometimes they refuse to discuss your activities. So when you try to discuss what's important to you, your sports, your schooling, your interests, your hobbies, your music, they don't discuss that with you. They won't talk about theirs. It wasn't important to them. Or they may say, oh yeah, I really like music. Here's what I like about music. Rather than asking you, hey, what do you like about that music? Hey, tell me what you like about your video games. Hey, tell me more about that. Tell me what's happening there. Oh man, that sounds so cool. Rather what they do is, well, yeah, I used to love video games too when I was a kid, but yeah, I don't like them anymore. What happened to me was, and it all comes about them and ignoring you emotionally and what's important to you. That's another way those things happen. Sometimes you may have felt like you weren't accepted as that you were their child. They never looked at you and said, yeah, you're my child. They always just kind of ignored the fact that you were their child and you never felt a part of what was going on. So ignoring also means they didn't take you to healthcare appointments or dental appointments. That was not something they did or worried about. They left that to somebody else or to yourself or to the mom or to the dad or something else. And they just did not think about that. And that was feeling ignored. You're sick and they just ignore it. You got to go for your physical and they don't know how to do that. So you can get into your sports. You got to get your shots because you got to get to school and they weren't a part of that. You had to figure that out on your own. So, and also it means that ignoring means failure to protect kids. So not being able to set boundaries and limits and help you figure out how to take care of yourself and tell you what not to do and how to do that and be engaged in that. Or when something happens to you, that they step up and protect you and say something about that and set limits for you and tell somebody else to leave you alone. They just weren't present for that. And again, like we talked about, they're just not engaged in your daily activities. Don't ask you about school. Don't help you with homework. Do none of those things with you. So this is what we mean by ignoring. Ignoring is the same kind of thing. You know, it feels like rejection and you're not good enough. It leads to shame. It leads to feeling not valuable and not worthy. And a lot of times how we react to that is we either become isolated and alone ourselves. We're not going to try. We're not going to do because it doesn't matter. Or we become really what I call codependent people. I'm going to work really, really hard to make sure this person notices me, that they're not going to ignore me. Now, how does that affect you when you're an adult? Well, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure somebody else is okay and they will see me. And they will pay attention to me, and what I do matters to them. And if it doesn't, even if they're not narcissistic and they love us to death and they don't notice something, man, it really hurts us. Man, we get so hurt and scared by that maybe what I'm doing doesn't matter to somebody. And so we'll talk about more of these in the future. How do these things really impact us, and how do they really hurt us as we're adults? So I just want to give you a glimpse of that. But this is kind of right now, I just want you to think about how this happened to you when you were a child, maybe. And are you an adult of a narcissistic parent or a parent with narcissistic traits? So the third one we'll talk about is terrorizing. Terrorizing for me is, again, the threats and the yelling. They may do major physical harm to you, hitting, yelling, screaming, punishing you because you're the scapegoat to what happened, not accepting responsibility for what's going on to them, ridiculing you, criticizing you. When you have normal emotions, why are you crying about that? You shouldn't be crying about that. That's kind of the terrorizing. Why are you so upset? You shouldn't be so upset about that. That's ridiculous. You're stupid. So you can see how these kind of all come together, and they all are one, and they all overlap. But when you're having normal emotions, that's one of those things. They're going to ridicule you and say you're silly and stupid. And so what we tend to do is we tend to put our emotions aside and not let people know what's going on and what's happening in our lives. We're just not going to let them know because we're going to be ridiculed and made fun of about it. And this is where kind of excessive teasing comes up. Oh, there you go, you little baby boy. There you are crying. Those kinds of things. Oh, there you go, little girl. There you go, just being a stupid little girl. And they're teasing and doing that. Some of that becomes really excessive teasing. Some of it's passive-aggressive stuff. Oh, there you go. Ha-ha. There you go, being a crybaby. You're always a crybaby. Ha-ha-ha. I'm just kidding. This, I don't really mean that. I'm just picking on you. You know, those kinds of things. To some more severe things. Yelling. Cursing. Verbal threats. I'm going to hit you. You're going to do this. To actually being hurt. Actually them raging about things. Actually them thinking and raging over what happened to you and what's going on. Threatening abandonment. I'm just going to leave. I'm not going to come pick you up at school. You're just going to figure a way home. Embarrassing you in front of your family. Yeah, they always do that. Yeah, they go crying again. Yeah, no matter what we do, we never can please them. Yeah, no matter what's going on, they're always angry about things. So, you know, they may threaten to hurt your parent, your pet. Yeah, if you don't do what I need you to do, or yeah, next time we're going to do this, I'm just going to take your dog and give it to somebody else. Something like that. They change the rules often when they're terrorizing. So yeah, they left that morning, they told you what to do, here's what you need to be doing, you do that, you get home. That's not what I said I needed to do. That's not what's going on. So this is where we go back to the previous ones we've talked about as gaslighting. You know, hey, that's not what I said. That's not what's going on. And it makes you and me and feel crazy. It's terrorizing. Again, we're not good enough. Something must be wrong with me because I don't remember that being said like that. And I must be wrong because they're really mad. And they must be right because they're the parent. And it makes us question ourselves. And we become adults who constantly question ourselves about what's going on and how we feel and what's happening. Again, ridiculing us in public in front of everybody. Threatening to tell our peers, our friends about what we're doing. You gonna cry about that? Let me. I'm gonna tell John about that next time he's over. I can't wait to tell him. This is gonna be funny. Or they do tell those things. That's terrorizing to you. Again, I'm not good enough. I'm not all right. They display inconsistent emotions. They're mad and angry, and then all of a sudden they're okay. They seem that they're happy with what you're doing, and then all of a sudden they're mad about what you're doing the next day. That's terrorizing because you never really know what's going on. We call that walking on eggshells. What am I going to do and say today that's going to make them mad? Because sometimes it's okay and sometimes it's not. So then we become adults who are really anxious all the time. Worrying and fretting. What's going to happen tomorrow? Is this the right decision to make? What if that happens? I got to figure it out now. and around we go in our head. Maybe as an adolescent, you got kicked out of your house because things just were never good enough. And no matter what you did and how you did it, they were yelling and screaming. They finally just said, get out. That may be a narcissistic parent who just couldn't handle that you were having normal emotions, that you were reacting to your world as a kid like most kids do. And they kicked you out. So all these things are what we call terrorizing. And they create tons of anxiety. So more than just the rejection and the being ignored and feeling like we're never going to be good enough, now we're people who are full of anxiety about that. Because when is it going to be good enough? What's going to happen today? If I do this and it messes up, is that going to be something bad? Do I need to look out for that? Do I need to think about that? How have I done this wrong? What have I done there? Oh my gosh, I've messed this up. And now we're full of anxiety. So the fourth one is what we call isolating. So they isolate you or they isolate me from engaging in normal activity, restricting eating, insisting that you remain in your room all day, those kinds of things. They keep you from away from family. They keep you away from friends. They don't attend to you for long periods of time. They're there all weekend and nobody comes to check on you. They don't allow you to have friends. For every moment, they're cutting off and cutting off your friends. I didn't have this one at all. I didn't really have the terrorizing one either. They may ensure that you look differently than your peers, make you dress differently, make not let you dress like your parents or your peers, not let you be like your peers. No, you can't wear that shirt. I don't care if they listen to that music. You're not listening to that music. No, you can't do these kinds of things. They keep you away from other family members, you know, especially ones that maybe want to care for you and nurture you and help you. They keep you away from those family members. They insist on you studying excessively. You have to. No, you can't go anywhere with anybody until you've studied well enough, until we have this quiz, until you do that. No, you can't do any of that. So isolating you is really abusive. It's not much different than adults who have abusive relationships. They isolate people from their peer group, from their financial life, from social situations, from being out in public, from being with other family members, from being with their parents, from being with their brother and sister, from being like they isolate them from all those kinds of things. And so when you were a child, if you experienced some of that from a parent, that could have been narcissistic traits going on there. They have isolated you. And again, it makes you feel not worthy and not good enough. It makes you anxious because, hey, when am I going to be able to be with people and feel good and worthy and okay? Hey, I had this normal social experience with people. We laughed, we had fun, we were dressed appropriately. And then my parent tells me how bad and terrible that is, that I shouldn't be laughing about that or be friends with them, or that's not right or that's not appropriate. It makes me just feel bad about myself. So again, this is isolating. And the last two we'll talk about, I'll go through real quick, is corrupting. So I didn't experience this one either, but corrupting is that they may attempt to corrupt you, or they may have attempted to do that to their children by exposing you to age-inappropriate activities. Drugs, alcohol, pornography, criminal activities. So they may have rewarded you for your bullying behavior. So if that happens to you or happened to you, you may have been trending toward more of a narcissistic person yourself. Hey, I'm not worried about other people's emotions and thoughts and feelings. I'm only worried about me. I'm not empathetic. I'm being taught by my parent to not be empathetic. They may have taught you racism, biases, bigotry, how other people are not worth it and not valuable. They're not as good as us. They're not okay. Those kinds of things. And they actively taught this to you. Corrupting how you think about and see the world and having you be not very empathetic yourself. They may had inappropriate reinforcement of sexual activity. So sexual abuse may have happened to you at some point, or you were forced to do things you didn't want to do. So some of that would definitely be narcissistic behavior if you experienced some sexual abuse at some point. Because they aren't thinking about you, and they're not listening to you, and they're corrupting your innocence and your taking care of yourself. They may encourage you to be violent when you play football or basketball. Yeah, hit them. Hey, punch them. Hey, just knock them down. Hey, it doesn't matter. Hey, you do what you have to do. Hey, no sportsmanship, no any of those kinds of things. They may have supplied you with drugs, alcohol, other substances while you're growing up, and just didn't worry about you. So you can see how these all interconnect again, because they may be isolating you there. They're corrupting you there for sure. They're not attending to your social needs. They're rejecting you and what you need and what you think, feel, and think. They are not paying attention to you in any kind of way to give you those kind of things. They're just wanting you to shut down and not have any emotions and probably just leave me alone. So if you had these things go on, you know, asking you to be participating in selling drugs or doing those kinds of things, rewarding you for lying and stealing and doing things, rewarding you for substance abuse. Hey, that's a good thing. Hey, way to go. Yeah, don't tell people that. Yeah, way to go. We don't tell mom that. Yeah, we keep secrets here. So it's those kinds of things that are corrupting. Really terribly abusive things. And finally, exploiting. So exploiting is many narcissistic parents manipulate or force you to inappropriate activities. Right? So more than just drugs and alcohol or pornography or sexual things, it's more like doing things as chores far and above your ability. So expecting you at, I don't know, 5 years old that you know how to mop the floor. Or at 6 or 7, you know how to do laundry, even though they've never taught you or shown you how to do it. Or you're expected not to cry when you were an infant or a child about something. So if you didn't get what you wanted or needed, I kind of say, well, who doesn't cry about that? Like I wanted the candy bar at the store. Who doesn't get upset about that when I'm 4 years old? Everybody gets upset about that. But if I'm shamed, why are you crying about that? It's just a candy bar. Oh, you're so stupid. Why are you doing those kind of things? So really kind of exploiting you that somehow you're supposed to have that skill and that tool and ability to know that that's not something really important right now. Yeah, you don't have that at 4 years old. You don't understand that. You don't know that's what's going on. Sometimes as a kid, you were expected to be the caregiver to somebody. And I was kind of in that situation. I don't think anything other than my parents were divorced and I just kind of took on that role. I'm not blaming anybody for that. But yeah, I became the caregiver to the people around me because I didn't feel worthwhile and viable. This was one of the ways I could get to be worthwhile and viable. And I also took care of my younger sister in a lot of ways, picking her up for practice, making sure things were clean around the house, making sure things were okay. Being the parent, cooking dinners at times, I'm not blaming anybody for that. It's just kind of what happened. I don't think people meant to exploit me, but still, I think it had an impact on how I saw the world growing up, that's kind of the role I took on. Even as I became an adult in my 20s and 30s, that's the role I took on. I got to take care of everybody else. That's my role, which led to me not setting some boundaries and limits for myself. And a lot of that, I think, did come from my dad being in his narcissistic traits, that nobody was around to teach me that, show me that. Show me what was going on and what was happening. And that I didn't have to do that, or there were better ways to do that. I just didn't have that. Exploiting is also blaming you for misbehavior of your siblings. Well, if you would just stop that, they wouldn't do that for you. Well, if you would just stop that, they wouldn't happen. If you wouldn't say that to them, and you're always being blamed for those things, so those kinds of things happen. Encouraging participation in pornography. Again, that's corrupting, but it's also exploiting. I did experience this some. I don't think my dad encouraged me. He didn't bring a porn to me and hand it to me in my hand, but he did have porn around the house, and it was easily accessible. He had Playboys in his office. They were in his office on a shelf. I don't think anybody kept me from accessing those. He didn't keep them away where nobody could see them. He didn't stop me from seeing them. He had to know I was moving them around or looking at them at some point because they were in a stack. I'm sure I didn't put them back in the stack the right way, but nobody ever really said anything about it. And we'll get into that later. It's one of the things that I think led me to some of my sexual acting out. That was hurtful and harmful because I knew no other way to feel viable. It was a way for me to cut down on my anxiety. And I'll talk about that in future podcasts too, just to give you a little teaser there. And then sexual abuse is exploiting. So it's not only corrupting. They're corrupting you by trying to get you used to feeling sexual things, and it's okay as a kid that you feel sexual things, and somehow you normalize that. It is okay that you feel sexual things as a kid, but beyond your years is the corrupting part. And the exploiting part is sexually abusing you and having power over you when that shouldn't happen, whether you were a child or a baby or you were an adolescent. And they did that when it was clear that that should not be happening. That is definitely exploiting you and not understanding that, not being attending to your emotional needs, it's rejecting, it's isolating, it's exploiting, it's corrupting. It's all that wrapped in one. It's why sexual abuse is so terrible and horrible and powerful to people. If that's happened to you, I really feel for you, and I'm sorry that happened to you, and I hope you can take care of yourself. So that's what we're going to be talking about as we move forward, is what happens to us as adult children of narcissistic parents. What happens to us? Where do we go? What happens to us as we grow older? So we're going to go and do that the next time. What happens to us as we grow older? How do we cope? How do we cope with the world around us? We had to do this as children. Now, how does that impact the world around us as we get older? How we see relationships, how we act in relationships, how our fight and flight system interprets these things to be terrible when maybe they're not. Or I hurt myself or others when I don't need to because I have no other way to interpret the world around me except through the eyes as an adult child of a narcissistic parent or one with those traits. So I know there was a lot thrown at you today in 35 minutes. So maybe you can go back and listen to this again. Give me comments on my Facebook page under this. What's meaningful to you? What's not? What needs to be slowed down on and hit home more? And maybe I'll take some time to go through each one of those even slower. But just would love to know that. So let me know on the YouTube comments, on, again, Facebook comments, the podcast comments, because I really want to be able to interact and give you what you need and what you're wanting. So I appreciate that. I look forward to talking to you next time. Think about this. I know it's a lot to digest. If you have questions, let me know. But I appreciate it. And we'll see you next time on Lessons from My Narcissistic Father.